So let's get into some specifics. The players in this particular license were the patentee Hoffman LaRoche, exclusive licensee Immunex, and its exclusive sublicensee Amgen Manufacturing. And the exclusive, all three of those parties, I believe, sued Sandoz for patent infringement. To provide proper standing, they felt they needed all the parts. And Sandoz argued invalidity for obviousness type double patenting and written description and obviousness. For our purposes, we're going to ignore the last two and focus on the OTDP, the obviousness type double patenting argument. Immunex had an exclusive license and paid its royalties to Roche like a good licensee does. However, Immunex was later acquired by its sub-licensee Amgen. So we can use those two companies interchangeably as we go because they became one party. The parties eliminated the license combination of Immunex and Amgen and replaced it with an accord and satisfaction document, which certainly sounds like a bill of sale or a final, you know, transfer of something. And we'll get into that detail a little more as we go. And it granted Immunex Amgen a paid-up, irrevocable, exclusive license to the patents in suit with right to sub-license and to prosecute applications and to bring suit. So what happened here is Roche retained the secondary right to sue for infringement at its own expense, and it also retained the right to veto further assignment of patents by Immunex. So Immunex, even though it had fully paid up the license, it could not actually assign those patents to any other party unless Roche agreed. Roche had the right to veto. Roche also reserved the right to internal non-clinical research for itself. Sandoz argued that Immunex effectively owned the patents in suit since all substantial rights were conveyed. That's the terminology they use. That's the name of the test that we'll be talking about, the all substantial rights test. And if all substantial rights were conveyed to Immunex, then Immunex owned the patents, and therefore Immunex's other patents would have rendered the patents in suit invalid for obviousness type double patenting because they had become commonly owned. Immunex, of course, argued that common ownership has to consider ownership at the time of the invention. Now, the Federal Circuit agreed with Sandoz and adopted the all substantial rights test. So this test had been bandied about in the law previously, but had never been actually adopted until this case. And so now that is the law of the land, at least from the Federal Circuit's perspective. The Supreme Court hasn't ruled on it, as they often do with Federal Circuit rulings. But the Federal Circuit rejected Immunex's time of invention approach and cited to the NPEP. So that's the test. Now, that's not the end of the story, of course. The Federal Circuit limited its holding and said that where one of the rights transferred is the right to prosecute the patented issue, you have to think about who's the effective patentee, that is informative, not determinative, but informative in evaluating whether the patents are commonly owned. Even if, I almost say, particularly when the assignment wasn't effectuated at the time of the invention. Now, the worst news for Sandoz, of course, was even though the Federal Circuit adopted the test Sandoz proposed, that test was not met because Roche retained secondary enforcement rights and the alienation rights, alienation being the free ability to transfer the rights away, which Immunex did not have. Roche retained that veto right. So as a result, obviousness type double patenting could not apply because Immunex did not commonly own these patents in suit because Roche had reserved some rights. And in doing so, the Federal Circuit looked at the Speedplay versus Bebop case and distinguished it and said, in that case, it wouldn't, even if the all substantial rights test was enforced then, it would have been different because the licensee there could block suit by the licensor. In the Immunex v. Sandoz case, of course, the licensor had the secondary right to sue if the licensee didn't do so. So that case became irrelevant, and the Federal Circuit ultimately wound up ruling against Sandoz on the issue of obviousness type double patenting, even though it adopted the test. And again, we're not addressing the other bases for invalidity today. Now, it wasn't a slam dunk case by any means. Judge Reyna dissented. He said the accord and satisfaction agreement amounted to an assignment rather than a mere license of the patents in suit, and that Immunex was a common owner and the patent was invalid for this reason. His view was there was gamesmanship, that the parties extended the life of the patents by having Roche not pursue the claims to the particular drug, etanercept, which was used in the Enbrel product sold commercially, and instead had Immunex do that, add those claims to that particular drug after it got the rights to the patents later on. I would point out this is sort of a potato-potato in terms of labeling the document. It was called an accord and satisfaction, which to most people, you'd see that name and you'd say, well, they transferred all the rights. They're done. They've satisfied everything. But the majority ignored that title, as I think they probably should have, and determined not all substantial rights were transferred. Why? Because when they focus on the rights that were and were not transferred, that's how they came to their conclusion, was looking at those facts, not merely the name of the document. So some clever license drafters who insist on a certain name for a document, it's ultimately meaningless and depends on the rights that are laid out in that document.